Will not accept the interpretations of the Old Testament, which are the groundwork of New Testament. And thus it is, there is little or no common ground to begin with. Moreover, the fact that a Christian will declare the virgin birth of Jesus finds no way in Orthodox Judaism to be authentic, reasonable, based upon either human experience or divine utterance in the old. The point that I'm making here is that the Christian key to Old Testament scripture is denied at its base. That's to say that a Jew who denies all this can become a Christian is to us not false, not popular fallacy, but indeed utterly illogical and impossible. And to put it in reverse, to say that once a Jew becomes a Christian, he still remains a Jew, is to deny the God-given faculty of intellect and the very basis of understanding in human communication. If what is ain't, ain't isn't is. And thus, for us, you can't get started on that basis. I think this manual, in its final and well-edited and sensitive formulation, in its final utterance, which Dr. Cole has been kind enough to give me a copy, there are only six now available, and soon, I hope, all the stuff you've got will be thrown out and this substituted, because this is much more sensitive, much more realistic than any previous edition. This illustrates a number of inaccuracies in its final, most sensitive formulation. First, it is a misinterpretation of Judaism because it comes to Old Testament via the New. And it thus reflects the initial conflict of synagogue and church in the early Christian centuries. It expresses that conflict. It assumes the Christian point of view out of two points of view. It doesn't give the Jewish point of view. It is based upon that. It is based on a misunderstanding of law. Paul saw it in one way. I don't. As a matter of fact, long after Paul, there were new interpretations of Jewish law which you don't use, which you now totally disregard because, for the most part, you're ignorant of them. I'll give you two illustrations. In the Jewish Bible, which you call Old Testament, which I deny, in the Jewish Bible, twice there's a statement that you shall not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. What does that mean? Post-Pauline law, Jewish law, said that means you do not mix meat and milk dishes, you may not eat any of the cook, that which is cooked in one set of pots. You need two sets of pots and two sets of cutlery. You may not eat together with a person who is contaminated, a woman who is menstruating and who has touched that which is non-kosher. None of this is biblical, but obviously you are not referring to that. Another illustration. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The lex talionis. Is that Judaism? According to Pauline, view of law, yes. Not to Jews. Post-Pauline law so changed the understanding of legal context that it was impossible for a person to take it literally. What it does referred to is an adjustment between those unwittingly harmed and those who did the deed. And that means a court makes a decision as to injury and adjustment is made. The word is mammon, money given for injury, which is exactly what an American court would do today. I would like to characterize the content of the book as invalid source material for your understanding Judaism, because it does not see the Jewish world view. It does not enter the Jewish world. It sees all through the eyes of Christian scriptures, which you call New Testament. Had I time, I would speak further about the impossibility of accepting a Christian view of man, utter depravity, total depravity, which for us is utterly impossible. I would speak of the difference of the word sin as I spoke of the difference of the word law. I would ask many a question. Let me now stop here, let Dr. Cole make his presentation, and then we shall have the rest of the time for our dialogue.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobs. I appreciated those words, and I should say at the very beginning, we're not really here to argue or debate some of these fundamental issues or teachings of Judaism in contrast to Christianity. We're here to seek understanding, and on that basis, I'd like to make a few remarks about where Missouri Synod is and what it's been doing in this area. I ought to say probably at the beginning, the manual that Rabbi Jacobs referred to, that you all had received, that if you picked one up, some 80 of you, I guess, an old edition, and the new one is out. I will send copies of the new one to Robert Wall, and he can have them available for you, so you can throw the old one away and take the new one. And Rabbi Jacobs has been referring to the new one since it's been revised in response to some of the suggestions made by various people in the Jewish community. And I should say that Rabbi Rudin from New York of the American Jewish Committee did submit 5 pages of suggestions, and many of them were incorporated in the final edition of this manual. And, of course, the big thing was that the flip chart that was used in the other manual has been taken out, and we do not want that to be used any longer, and that's why we are asking you to throw those away. I think Rabbi Jacobs' comments illustrated the fact that there are some fundamental differences between Judaism and Christianity. We recognize that. And we are saying that in our pluralistic society, we need to recognize and be willing to accept people who are of different religious views. As our committee on witnessing the Jewish people has sat down around the table with various Jewish groups, we hear a number of things appealing to toleration in a pluralistic society. Now, there are two sides, it seems to us, to the question of toleration and the question of living in a pluralistic society. One is that we do accept the fact that we have differing viewpoints, and we should recognize and accept people of differing viewpoints. The other side of the issue, which Missouri Synod has taken its stand on, is that pluralism also means that you have a right to share your faith as you feel compelled to do so. And that the sharing of faith needs to incorporate in it the willingness to accept a no answer and a willingness willingness to love and accept people even when the answer is no. Now, that's one of the things that we've tried to say in this little folder. If any of you have seen this folder, here is where Missouri Synod tried to state its position in saying that we want to be sensitive to Jewish concerns, Jewish people. We want to understand them, but we ask that they also seek to understand us. And we state our basic commitment and the reasons why we feel we must continue to witness to Jewish people. I think you're all familiar with the fact that much of the publicity began when Missouri Synod passed that resolution at the Dallas Convention in the summer of 1977, in which we stated our position, our commitment to share the gospel or share the fact that we believe Jesus is the Messiah for Jewish people as well as for all other people, and that we need to help our people understand that and renew their commitment to that cause. And from that came some of the dialogues and some of the publicity that you're familiar with. One of the things that we see a little difficulty with in dialoguing with the Jewish community is their willingness to understand us from the point of view of how serious we take the scriptures and how serious our commitment is. In most of the dialogues, and I could quote you statements here from the Anti-Defamation League, I could quote you statements from the Synagogue Council of America, Rabbi Tannenbaum, when he looked over our working draft of this manual, said, we'll send you these suggestions, but we're still not satisfied with that. And from the basic issue that these Jewish organizations, which we take to be representative of the Jewish community, are saying to us, we want you to accept the Jewish faith as equal to the Christian faith, and not having one superior or better than the other. And we say we respect people with Jewish faith, but we have a commitment that we have to share the fact that we believe that Christianity is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, as we call it, and that the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the Messiah for all people and the only way to peace with God and salvation. And many Jewish people find that hard to understand and to accept. And it's based on the fact that we take our scripture so seriously, as evangelical conservative Christians do. And when it is written in our scriptures that this is what our Lord commissioned us to do, we believe it, and we accept it, and we do it. And so that, it seems to me, is one of the issues that we're constantly confronted with. The other is that we are constantly being told that if we pursue that approach, that we must share the Messiah with Jewish people, the inevitable result is anti-Semitism, and that we are breeding anti-Semitism by doing this. Now, we recognize there is a danger in this, and that could possibly happen. And in the past history of the church, there have been a terrible history of anti-Semitism, both from the way that the Christians taught the New Testament and taught the history of the Jewish involvement in the crucifixion, for instance. Take a book that there's a novel just been out recently, The Anguish of Father Rafferty. It dramatically portrays how in the Catholic Church the teachings have often resulted in anti-Semitism. But we are saying that in our pluralistic society today in the United States, we think it's possible to pursue a course of witnessing the Jewish people and from the stance of a willingness to accept a no answer and still love Jewish people and not be caught in the trap of anti-Semitism, and still seek in dialogue to understand, to cooperate in humanitarian efforts, and to work together with Jewish people. and at the same time have beneath it all a yearning desire that St. Paul expressed that they would come to know Jesus as the Messiah too. Now, that's kind of a very fast and quick saying of a few things about where we're at and what we're doing today. The Missouri Synod, through its committee, Special Committee on Witnessing to Jewish People, conducts workshops in districts. It has this manual, which it hopes congregations will use to both do two things, that begin to understand some of their Jewish friends and neighbors in the community, and at the same time, in a sensitive, loving way, be willing to share their faith with them. Perhaps this is the place to stop, and we'll open it up for questions. Okay, we'll go till 1 o'clock with questions. That gives us about 20 minutes. So if you have one, just raise your hand, and we'll call on you, and you can shout it out. Chris? A book called A Jewish Understanding of the New Testament by Samuel Sandmel. Jewish Understanding of the New Testament by Samuel Sandmel. This is an adequate approach to New Testament from the point of view of a scholarly Jew. He has two books published in 1978. This is published in 1960-something. Those two books are Judaism and Christian Beginnings, published by Oxford University Press. Second book, that was Judaism and Christian Beginnings, Oxford University Press, Samuel Sandmel. His second book, published last month, is called Antisemitism in the New Testament? Antisemitism in the New Testament? Published by Fortress Press, a Lutheran public publisher. Okay.
Could I piggyback on that? I just finished reading that last book. And that illustrates what I said before, that we find so often that even the best scholars, and Samuel Sandmel is an excellent scholar, a New Testament scholar, has devoted his life to studies of the New Testament, and you can't deny his scholarship. But he accepts, for instance, the liberal view of the New Testament as to its inspiration and authority, and comes through accepting the fact that the New Testament has various accounts, for instance, of the trials of Jesus, and therefore they're probably not historically true because of the various accounts and contradictions in the Synoptic Gospels. He questions the resurrection from that point of view, but it's not taking seriously the conservative understanding of the New Testament, where we believe it to be the verbal-inspired Word of God, and accept it as literally true. And I think if he were to take it from that point of view, he would come out with a little different understanding of our understanding of the New Testament. And by the way, he does trace the fact that much anti-Semitism can be found in the New Testament if you take certain passages, the way they spoke about the Jews being involved in the crucifixion of Christ, and how they were responsible in some of Paul's comments and so on.
Okay, another question?
Yes.
No, should I be? Tell me about it.
be glad to. Europe for generations has been a seedbed of hot anti-Semitism. Country after country has persecuted its Jews. The latest expression in Nazism was a result of an extraordinary combination, an unusual combination of economic depression, a political inferiority complex, they'd lost World War I, of an example of search for a scapegoat. We weren't defeated properly. We were stabbed in the back, and the German army officials declared that it was the Jews that had stabbed Germany in the back. How did they hit upon Jews? The answer is that Germany and the other European nations, for the most part, had been brought up in their mother's milk on the anti-Semitism of the New Testament. And thus they were ready and ripe for all the political and the economic and the social and finally the Nazi era. It couldn't have happened unless there had been a Christian era before the secular era. I'm not disturbed at all. I think if you're aiming at 50% of your congregations, if you get half of 1%, you'll be lucky. So I'm not disturbed at all. In the great American open society, it's everybody's bit to say his mind. So happens we don't have a yen to convert you. We say all the righteous behavior, all the righteous have a share in the world to come. And if you are righteous human beings, you're just as good as any Jew. You don't have to be a Jew to be saved. That's all part of you. We have no concern about this. And come on, try it. Not disturbed by either.
Andy?
To whom are you speaking? Give him a chance. As a matter of fact, I wrote your president and said that I'm available for classes, for informal educational situations and everything. Is he here? I never got an answer. Yes. You have said. Yes. Let me comment on what you started with. I said that you're not seeing Judaism when you see Judaism through the eyes of the New Testament. I said that. Because Judaism expanded beyond the New Testament era, and I illustrated that. If you come to the Old Testament, out of quotes of the Old Testament, in the context of the New Testament, and there's so many, many quotes filling many pages, I still hold to the same thing I uttered. Because it's quoted and placed in the context of the New. Sefer. If you are to study the Old Testament, I beg you not to do it through the New, but to go to Jewish sources of understanding the Old. To illustrate, Jeremiah 31:31. new? It's a new covenant, right? The old seems gone. Now that much you have quoted. But I haven't heard you quote that this new covenant will be brought to the Jewish people. And we're still Jews. And so if there's any newness in a covenant, it'll come to us. For you to say it's yours seems to me to be astounding. Why? Because I look at it from the point of view of Jewish sources. I therefore suggest that when you look at the Old Testament, please examine Jewish commentators. Okay? That point is well taken. Now about messianic speculation in the Old Testament. Excuse the word speculation. What do I use? Messianic fulfillment? It is not fulfilled in the Old Testament. Anticipation? Messianic anticipation? Yep. This is so remarkable, so magnificent a view. Peace on earth. The wild animals that eat meat will lie down peacefully with the other animals who eat only roots and leaves and herbs and vegetables. What an extraordinary time. Think of the nations of the world that shall learn war no more. There is a specificity about the Messiah to come. So that's been one of the bases of the criticism of the Christian view of the Messiah, because war has continued. So I could go on and in each case declare the Messiah has not come as fulfillment of Old Testament because of such items. Okay? Not okay. Mr. Chairman, why don't you
answer that? Okay, in the back, Jerome?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you clearly. Because he tells the truth about Judaism. Nonsense. So that was over and over again the experience. Have I responded to the second part? I have a feeling I left out the second part. Shall I go on with a specific question?
Go ahead.
I want you to repeat the question again so I get it clearly, please. Okay, go on.
Does anyone have a question for Dr. Cole? Give him a little bit. I'll have to have you by yourself. Okay, John, in the back. Show up. All right. Great. We thank you very much for coming, and may the Lord bless you.